You have your Bibles tonight. If you turn to Matthew chapter 9. Not for grace. Thankful for His grace. Speaking of thanks, before I get started, this afternoon we went out to lunch and there was quite a few folks at the place that we was eating. We were eating at Chili's this afternoon, and someone paid for our gun and our meal, and you know, from the bottom of our hearts, we'd just like to say thank you. Don't know who it was, but we just want to say thank you for that this evening. Let's get into the text directly. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? I mean, this morning with the Spirit, the way He moved, and song service, and just how good is our God. Matthew chapter number 11, we're going to start in verse number 25. It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Father but the Son, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, for the next few minutes, God, I pray, Father, that you'd remove me out of the way. Lord, I stand in a place where the arm of flesh has failed others. The arm of flesh has failed me. And Lord, I just ask, Father, that you'd move me far out of the way. And Lord, I pray, Father, that I would be a mouthpiece only for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would help these people through your word and your word alone, because that's the only way, Father, that we know about your Holy Son and the Holy Scriptures. And God, I just pray, Father, that you would make that, and it wouldn't return unto you void, God, Father. And Lord, we'll just thank you and we'll praise you and give you glory and honor and praise for everything in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, I'm honest to goodness, I'm absolutely horrible at introductions, so I'm just going to try to get right into the text. You know, this is one of those texts that really helps me, and it doesn't help me not just for the obvious reasons. The last three verses in the text are ones that are very familiar verses. It's a familiar text to even young kids. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But what helped me more than anything, or what helps me when I read these verses, is not just those three verses towards the very end, but it's actually verse number 25, where it says, "At that time, Jesus answered." You know, I began to think when I was studying on this verse, and I have mentioned this verse in different messages because it helps me so much. But the fact is that Jesus answered. I don't know if you looked at the other parts of the verse or if you've read this recently, but who is He answering? To answer, it means to begin to speak, but always where something, either an action or words, have preceded to which you're referring to, that the answer is referring to. So Jesus in this text is answering someone or something. If you look back in the beginning of the text, it begins by talking about John the Baptist. And if you look in verse number 4, it does say that Jesus answered and said unto them. And that was referring to when the disciples were asking Jesus, are thou the Christ, or should we look for another? He answered them directly. But from that point in time on, he begins to tribute John the Baptist being that there's none greater made of woman than John the Baptist. And then he begins to talk about the judgment of the unrepentant, and that it would be better for you, for Sodom and Gomorrah, for Tyre and Sidon, is how he put it, in the day of judgment than it would be for those who have witnessed Jesus Christ, for those who had been in the presence of the Almighty Father and yet not repented of those sins which they needed. You see, when he answered, he didn't answer somebody. Nobody was speaking to him in that room. Yet he was answering somebody. He answered and said, I thank thee, O Father. He was answering his Father in the midst of him talking. You know, the reason that helps me out so much is because if I desire, and it should be all of our desires, to be so close with God that even while we are communing or having fellowship one with another, that we can at the same time commune directly with the Father and answer Him right in the middle of our sentences. But I know I'm not there yet, and I'm pretty certain if I asked the whole crowd here that you probably would agree that you're not there either. But the fact of the matter is that he answered. And I sat there and I began to think about how God has been faithful to answer. And it doesn't matter in this scripture or in many. I just thank God for the ability, for his ability to answer every time that something's called upon. Jesus, in these verses, he was faithful to answer the Father's call to communion. You know, the fact of the matter is that this isn't just the only time that Jesus was communing with the Father. If you looked at after he fed the 5,000 with just 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, you would know that Jesus, after he had sent his disciples over across the sea, and he had gone apart into a mountain to pray. He was wanting his so badly just to commune with the Father. Likewise, in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, he, before even calling his disciples, he went to a place alone to pray. In Luke chapter 9, verse 18, before Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ, before he asked that question, who do men say that I am and who do you say that I am? He was in a place alone with the Father praying. Before the Mount of Transfiguration in Luke chapter 9, verse 28, he was there, set apart, trying to pray. Before the crucifixion, that's one of the main ones that I've preached on recently, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he went a little further and he knelt down and communed with his Father. But the reason that this is so special, like I said before, is that he sat here in the midst teaching other people, and yet he was still faithful to answer that call to communion with his Father. You know, I see in other parts of Scripture that he is faithful to answer even his friends during the concern of calamity. I began to think about how they were on that sea and he was in the hinder part of the boat asleep, and the winds were raging, the waves were coming up on the up on the ship, and he was just resting at peace. But the people in the ship, the disciples, those followers of him, they were going crazy. They were afraid and they said, Master, care not that we perish? Carest thou not that we perish? And he got up and he spoke 3 simple words. He answered in action. He didn't have to answer in words. I began to think about how he went to when Mary and Martha called for him because their brother Lazarus had died, and you know, they called for him because, and when he got there, he said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And you know, after all the questions and all the things that he did finally get to that point, and he did answer their question, he said, Lazarus, come forth. and he came forth living. You know, there's so many times in the Scripture that he answers not just calls to his Father, but calls to us as well. He was faithful to answer the call of his Father to the command of the cross. You know, I don't have to stand up and tell, this is a Sunday night crowd, I don't have to stand up here and tell you how that before the foundation of the world, the cross was already in view. And Jesus knew before that foundation of the world that he was going to come as a sin, he was going to come and be a man, just like sinful man, so that he would die because he would live a sinless life, be the perfect fulfillment of the law, be the perfect fulfillment of the sacrifice that had been in that law, so that we could live in heaven one day with God. The Bible says that he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He answered that call perfectly, might I add, with every prophecy being fulfilled and every word of the text of the Bible. He answered every call. You know, he was faithful to answer the call when his Father called in the Scripture. He was faithful to answer the call when his friends needed him, either in the boat or in the life that Mary and Martha and Lazarus needed him. He was faithful to answer his Father's command to the cross. And we know that because he stated those words from the cross. It is finished. But may I add that he is faithful to answer his followers' cry for consolation. You know, the reason that this scripture is so important to me, the reason that it is such a heavy burden on my heart, and the reason that I'm preaching it right now is that we need to be reminded that Jesus answers. You know, I don't know why somebody needs to be reminded of that, because it seems like almost weekly, almost daily, he's answering some of my prayers, he's answering some of the prayers of the people in this church. But even the children of Israel who saw him lead them out of Egypt, when they got over to the other side, they still started murmuring. We need to be reminded every day that he answers the call of his children. He answers prayer. I know this is silly, and Mr. Dennis, this will be the time if you're going to... I don't know how this is going to work. We bought this little thing for my son. I don't know if you know what this is. It's a megaphone. I'm going to try it out. It's fun. I'm just going to say that. It's fun. And my wife, when she asks me, what are you going to use that for? I didn't know what to say to her, but she knows what I do with it on a normal basis. In fact, I did it right before I left. I walked up behind Sawyer and I said, "Sawyer, thank you for letting me use this." In actuality, the reason that we have this is because, I don't know if you know, but Sawyer doesn't really have much of a voice. About 2 years ago when we were doing the Christmas play, he started to somewhat lose his voice. In fact, he talks like this most of the time. He was born with a congenital heart defect. And during that first open heart surgery, the nerve in which the vocal cords work is right next to where they cut. And so during that surgery, the nerve was messed up and his vocal cords were paralyzed to where they don't exactly touch the exact way. Or the correct way. So we actually got this, even though I use it to, to mess with him, to probably make him more angry than anybody else could. We got this to kind of help him, because when he's far away from us, we can't hear hardly a word he says. And I want to try to empower him, to help him. I want him to know that I hear him. The trouble with these things is, you know, I can use this and I can speak, and you can hear me perfectly fine. And when he uses it, he can speak loudly and more loudly, and I can hear him perfectly fine. But he can't always hear me. The Lord had me to preach this because He has words for us. And they're in the form of verse 28, 29, and 30 where it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give ye rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden, it's light." He's faithful to answer, folks. And he's way better than a megaphone, because he called you first. He gave you the words, "Come unto me," so that when you come to him and you cry out in pain, in fear, in sin, in sorrow, he'll answer you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. And I guess that I'm feeling that I'm talking probably to those people who are more listening more at home than are listening here. I'm thinking about Miss Sandra, who's in pain. I'm thinking about John, who's fearing what he's going to go through. I'm thinking about Miss Mimi and all the pain that she's been dealing with. And I'm thinking about all the people who are hurting, who are going through those trouble and the trials that they've been going through. But you know, it's not just them that needs to know that Jesus answers. There's somebody here, there's got to be somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. He answers when you cry out for sin too. You know, there's got to be someone here. I think about Mr. David, and I think about Misty, and I think about all those people who have lost loved ones over this past year. That's got to be painful. But Jesus, I'm sure, has answered the cry for your help in your time of need. And even though that we call for Him one time, it's not enough. We got to keep calling for Him and calling for Him, because we're so weak in our flesh. I think about all the people in this church. We need Him. I need Him every hour. Not just for when my sin gets heavy, or not just when the troubles of life gets heavy, but if we would have Him all the time, we could be in a state of revival like this church has never seen before. That's my message. I just got one more thing. The Lord's told me that He said, "Come." He said, "Come." I thought of this song, and I'm just going to sing the first verse, the second verse, and the chorus. When troubles come against me, and I feel so overwhelmed, when it seems the more I tried giving, that my troubles seem to swell. When I reach the end of me, and my faith is growing dim, I hear a still voice whisper, "Just bring it all to Him." And I'll just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan when the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim. Oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to Him. In the throne room of my Savior, I find a sweet relief. I find strength to bear my burdens. I find comfort for my grief. When my cup is overflowing and He fills it to the brim, what a blessed consolation that I can bring it all to Him. And I just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. And when the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to Him.
Appreciate that. Just bring it all to Him. Brother Randy, have a song to sing. Invitation time. Wonderful. Just come unto me, all ye heavy and laden, and I'll give you rest. That's for you. That's for me. Anytime. We're in the right place at the right time. Altar is open. You need to come just get some peace and get some rest. He is available. This is so wonderful that we can just call on Him at any time. Thank the Lord for the message, Brother. It was very, very precious. I love that song that you sang, too. I think it's one of Leonard Fletcher's songs. And I talked to him the other day. Looking forward to coming here in the fall. And we thank God we, our church, started supporting his jubilee. And so blessed this. And would you stand in that? Altar's open. Let's bring it all to Him, the songwriter said. Brother Leonard sang so beautiful. And you can bring all your troubles, all your cares, all the things that bothers you to Him and leave it there. He cares for us. Brother Randy. Isn't that amazing? And since He, God, bids, invites us to seek His face, an invitation from the Lord, what else could we do except submit ourselves to Him in thankfulness and humility and give Him praise and honor for all He's doing? Wonderful song. Right time to sing it. Right message for the hour. Has everyone done what God tells you to do in that? So much to pray for. The nation needs prayer. The world needs prayer. God is available. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for us. Oh, my heart's clear. Amen. Brother Justin, if you'll come please and pray with us and for us. Lift up our hearts to the Lord. Isn't it great that the Lord can hear the whole world praying at the same time? He can hear yours and mine. He bids us come. An invitation to the throne. Praise. I knew there's something I was about to forget. Business meeting. Hold on to that prayer. We'll open up a business meeting this time, and Miss Glenda is going to come and read the report. She is our church clerk, and she keeps records of all business transactions. And then we'll have the financial report. Got that handy?
October 27, 2019. The quarterly business meeting was held October 27, 2019. The minutes and treasury reports were read. Motion was made.